We read the Word of God from two places tonight. First of all, from Numbers chapter 9. And then after reading that, we'll turn to Exodus chapter 13. First of all, Numbers chapter 9. Numbers 9, beginning at verse 15, and we'll read to the end of this chapter. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Text for the sermon is verses 21 and 22 of Exodus 13. We'll begin reading, though, at verse 17 and go to the end. Exodus 13, verse 17. It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now these last two verses are the text for our sermon. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. We read the Word of God that far tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole of our life here on this earth is a pilgrimage. We don't belong spiritually to this world. We've been called out of this world by the grace of God. And this world is not our home. Our home is in heaven with our Heavenly Father. And the whole of our life here on this earth then is a journey, journeying through the wilderness of this world. Finally, we're brought by God to our everlasting home. In our earthly pilgrimage, there are times of great joy. It's not only the case that Our pilgrimage is one of sorrow and trouble. There are also many joys that God gives to us along the way. And yet, often, our earthly pilgrimage is filled with many sorrows and hardships and afflictions. We're walking through a waste, howling wilderness, a world that's fallen in sin and under the curse, with an old man of sin ourselves, and all of the consequences of the fall into sin, with the hurtful, painful circumstances of life. And so essential for us in our earthly pilgrimage is that we have a guide and a protector. So essential for us is that we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who's with us, who guides us, and who preserves us every step of the way till He takes us to glory to be with Him. There are times when we see others who are suffering, those who are unbelievers, who don't have the hope that we do, who don't have the confidence of belonging to Christ, who are living in sin, and we see them enduring some great struggle and affliction in this life. And we wonder, how can they go through that? How can they experience this great trouble and affliction without God, without comfort and hope of Christ leading and preserving them? As hard as the circumstances of our lives are, and they are, if God, how awful to continue on that pilgrimage without God. You can't imagine how horrible that would be. We need, we have, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's with us, who guides us throughout the whole of our pilgrimage, will preserve us until He takes us over the Jordan and brings us into the promised land. We learn these important truths about our earthly pilgrimage from the history of this cloud, the cloud of the pillar of the cloud and the fire that led Israel through the wilderness. Even though we've already considered the passage through the Red Sea, we left the people of Israel last time on the other side of the Red Sea, we're going to back up just a moment to consider briefly their history right before, because it's then that God first appears to them in this pillar of cloud, and this cloud is essential for them as they continue through the rest of they're wandering through the wilderness. The importance of this cloud for Old Testament Israel is obvious. They were guided by that cloud throughout the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They never would have been able to make it through the wilderness and to the promised land without that cloud. The importance of that cloud is evident from the frequent mention of it throughout the Scriptures. And then not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that all of the fathers were under the cloud and they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There's specific mention made there of the cloud. So important was that cloud for Israel that without that cloud, they would have all perished in the wilderness. They would have been dry bones in the midst of that desert and never would have come to dwell in the land of promise. So important for us in our earthly pilgrimage, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, belonging to Christ, the guidance and the preservation of Christ, we would perish in this waste, howling wilderness. We would be dry bones in the desert. We'd never make it to the heavenly promised land. But belonging to Christ, having Christ as our guide and our protector, We are assured and confident that He will certainly take us to glory to be with Him. Let's consider this Word of God tonight under the theme, the pillar of cloud and fire. And the three points of the sermon tonight are the three main purposes that pillar had. First of all, the pillar's presence. Secondly, the pillar's piloting or guidance. And then thirdly, the pillar's protection. First of all, understand something of the history of this cloud in Old Testament Israel. The cloud makes its first appearance on the west side of the Red Sea. Prior to that, for a little while, Moses was the one who was directing the people of Israel as they left their homes the night of the Passover, as they gathered together. Moses was leading them, but they come then to the edge of the wilderness. And it's at that moment that God sends this pillar to guide them. This pillar of cloud and fire will continue to go before them through the rest of their wandering through the wilderness. For the next 40 years, every day, they could see that cloud before them. There's some question about what happened to that pillar when the people came into the land of promise. We don't read about the pillar at all at that point. There's only one other reference to it later in the Old Testament. And that's at the building and the dedication of the temple by Solomon. Then in 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11, we read, "It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." Apart from that one reference, there's no mention again of this pillar. Now, there's some who say that the pillar never left. It led the people for 40 years. It continued with them in the land of promise and remained there even until the days of Solomon. That's possible. It's also possible that this pillar was with the people only for the 40 years in the wilderness. When they crossed over the Jordan into the land of promise, then the pillar was removed. And only one other time, at the important event of the dedication of God's house, does this pillar of cloud and fire appear once more over the temple. Whatever the case may be, this cloud, this pillar, was with the people throughout their wandering in the wilderness. It was in the form of a pillar. It was a tall column that would have been visible for all of the people to see. We're going to come a little bit later to consider that this pillar could also serve as a kind of canopy for the people, but ordinarily this pillar showed itself as a tall, visible column. And it was a pillar of cloud and fire. It doesn't mean that there were two different pillars, one that was a cloud and a separate one that was fire. It was one and the same column that during the daytime appeared as a cloud, and during the nighttime appeared as a visible pillar of fire. This is obviously a miracle of God. Now, it seems so obvious that we hardly need to say that, and yet we do. The necessity of saying that this is a miracle is because of many scholars today, supposedly learned men, who will do all they can to try and explain away this pillar. And they have all kinds of wild explanations. This was a thunderstorm that appeared, they said. Or it was simply the dust that was kicked up by 2 million pairs of sandals so that there was this big cloud of dust. Others will say it was a whirlwind in the desert. Still others will say that at that time, when there was a caravan that was going through the desert, they take a pot, They'd fill it with wood. They'd light it on fire so that there would be billows of smoke. There'd be fire at night. And they put this pot at the front of the caravan. Someone would carry it so that there was always before the caravan smoke and fire. And these supposedly learned men will say, that's all that this was. It wasn't a miracle. It was some Israelites carrying a pot of fire and smoke. And they just said it was God. They thought that God was with them because of that. We're dealing here again with a sinful denial of the truth of God's word. Sinful unbelief. Again and again with the miracles that we read of in the wandering in the wilderness and the other miracles of Scripture, including the greatest miracle, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, all explained away in some earthly human terms. That's unbelief. This was a miracle. In a miraculous way, at that precise moment, God appears in a pillar of cloud and fire. This isn't some thunderstorm that comes just in a moment. This isn't dust kicked up from sandals. This is a miracle. And this miraculous pillar continues with God's people every day for the next 40 years. This miraculous pillar had several purposes for God's Old Testament people. One of those purposes was that it taught the people about who God is and reminded them of God's presence with them always. God intended this pillar to teach the people about Himself. In the Scriptures, this pillar is always connected with God Himself. Verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. The Lord went before them. In this pillar of cloud, there's an inseparable connection between God's leading and this pillar. And then in Exodus chapter 14, the history of the passage through the Red Sea, verse 24, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. God appeared to them. God troubled them through the pillar of cloud and of fire. This pillar was a symbol. It was a visible revelation of God Himself to the people of Israel. It revealed His holiness. God is a consuming fire in His holiness toward all that is opposed to His holiness. It revealed God's righteousness and justice. He clothes Himself with a cloud of just judgment, and His judgments are terrible. It taught the people that God is transcendent. God is incomprehensible. He's spiritual. He's divine. In a right sense, He's mysterious. He's other than us. As this cloud and fire appeared to the people were reminded, God is different from us. God is transcendent. He's highly exalted above us. Revealed to the people the majesty and the glory of God. Throughout the Scriptures, this pillar is connected with God's glory. Exodus 16, verse 10, for example. They looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. There's often a Hebrew word that's connected with that pillar. It's the word Shekinah. It's one that's even made its way into our English language, something that we use. And it speaks of the revelation of the majesty and the glory of God. This cloud was the Shekinah. It was the revelation to the people of the greatness, the glory, and the majesty of God to them. And it taught the people that this majestic, glorious God was their God. that this great God was with them always. This cloud never left the people of Israel. It was with them always, every step of their journey through the wilderness, and that taught them, God is with you. God dwells with you in faithfulness to His covenant promises. God will never leave or forsake you, but He's with you always. Taught the people that God was with them in spite of their unfaithfulness and their sins against Him. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 9, this is hundreds of years later now, the people at that time are remembering the sins of Israel in the wilderness. But they say in Nehemiah 9 verse 19 to God, yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day. God was faithful. He didn't abandon them, although He had every right to do so. When the people grumbled and complained and rebelled against Him, God had every right to remove His pillar of cloud and fire far from them, to abandon them in the wilderness in their sin. But He didn't. He was faithful. He was present with them always. That truth has important application for us in our earthly pilgrimage. Our life is a pilgrimage. We've been graciously called out of bondage to sin, out of the bondage of Egypt. We have before our eyes the hope of the promised land. But between where we are now and that promised land, there's a wilderness. That's the wilderness of this life, in our earthly pilgrimage through it. The Word of God teaches us that God is with us in our earthly pilgrimage. And He's with us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The pillar of cloud and fire was a type, was a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One proof of that is Exodus 14 verse 19 says, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. There's a connection, a putting together there of the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and this pillar. It says the angel went behind them to protect them. The pillar went behind them to protect them. Those aren't two separate things. It's one and the same. There's a connection between the angel of the Lord and this pillar. And then interestingly, in the book of Revelation chapter 10, it describes Jesus Christ in the language of this pillar. Revelation 10 verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel, according to good commentators on the book of Revelation, including Reverend Hooksma, they say that's not an angel, that's Christ. I saw another mighty angel. I saw Christ come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon His head, and His face was as it were the sun, and His feet as pillars of fire. Christ is described there as clothed in a cloud, with His feet as pillars of fire. Obviously a reference to this pillar of cloud and fire from the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the full and complete revelation to us of the triune God. It's in Jesus Christ that we know who God is. It's in Christ that we see revealed the holiness and the just judgment of God. It's in Christ that we see that God is transcended. He's incomparably, so infinitely exalted above us. It's in Christ that we see the majesty and the glory of God displayed. Our confidence in our earthly pilgrimage is that this pillar is with us. God is with us in Jesus Christ. It's in and through Jesus Christ that God dwells with us in sweet covenant fellowship. It's in Jesus Christ that we have the confidence God is with us. He'll never forsake us or leave us. He'll never abandon us in our earthly pilgrimage. But He is always with us. We might think that the people of Israel had it so much better than we do. Every day they could wake up and they could see this cloud. If they woke up in the middle of the night, they'd see this pillar of fire. They had something visible, something their eyes could see. Whereas we maybe think, we can't see Jesus Christ. They had it so much better than we do. The truth of the matter is, we have it better. We have Jesus Christ not only with us, we have Jesus Christ in us. Jesus Christ is in us in His Holy Spirit. He sent His Holy Spirit not just to dwell with us, but to dwell in us, to live in our hearts, so that we have Christ with us always, even to the end of the world, as He promised His disciples before He ascended into heaven, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. We have Christ in us by His Holy Spirit. We have Him with us always and in all of the circumstances of our life. Just as this pillar never left, so Christ is with us always. Christ is with us even when we sin against God. And we reveal the stubborn, rebellious nature that remains in us. Now, at those times, God may chasten us by causing us to lose the conscious assurance of His presence with us. But even then, He's never left us. That sense may be taken away from us for a time, so that we doubt as God's chastening of us, but that doesn't mean that Christ is left. Christ is always with us. He never abandons us. And the evidence of that is that even in our falls into sin, our Savior draws us out of that sin, brings us to repentance and turning from that sin, restores us to the way of thankful obedience to God. Christ is with us in spite of our many sins against Him. And He's with us in the face of the hard, painful troubles and sorrows of our earthly pilgrimage. It's a comfort to us in whatever are the sorrows that we endure. Comfort to those who are lonely, widows and widowers, whose spouse is gone, live daily alone in the consciousness of being alone in their home, no one to talk to share their life with. Others of God's people who've had loved ones die, and there's a sense of loneliness. Single members of the church desire a spouse, and yet God hasn't given them one, and their loneliness. The loneliness that a child of God can experience when he's abandoned. Perhaps a loved one hasn't died, but they've left. They've abandoned one sinfully. It's a deep loneliness that we feel. And the comfort is that God is with us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not abandoned in those circumstances. Not only do we have the fellowship of God's people, most importantly, we have Christ with us. our comfort in this earthly pilgrimage, whatever the sorrows may be, is that we're not alone. We're not abandoned or forsaken by God. But He is with us. And that's the comforting truth that comes from a passage like Isaiah 43, a passage that we're all probably familiar with. Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." When you pass through the deep waters, when you pass through the fiery trials of this life, the comfort is, I will be with thee. That's the promise of God to us in Christ. Christ is with us always. He's with us. We pass through the deep waters and the fiery trials, our earthly pilgrimage. People of God, be comforted, be assured in your pilgrimage, in your life circumstances, of the unfailing presence of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you. That was the first purpose of this pillar. Teach the people about God and to assure them that God is with them always. Second purpose of that pillar was to pilot them, to lead them, guide them, direct them on their journey to the land of Canaan. That comes out in just about every passage that makes mention of this cloud and fire. Our text, for example, verse 21, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." This pillar was what directed Israel as they marched. It was always before them, at the front of the camp, as they made their way through the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai. There at Mount Sinai, they stayed for about a year. God gave them the plans for the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was constructed, that pillar rested upon the most holy place. And when that pillar remained upon the tabernacle, the people knew they were to rest. They were to pitch their tents. They were to stay there for as long as that pillar remained. And as we read out of Numbers chapter 9, that could be a couple of days, that could be months, that could be years. That pillar remained there and didn't move. But the moment that that pillar did move, people of Israel knew it was time to march. When the pillar moved from off the tabernacle, it went before the multitude of God's people. People were to pull up their tent stakes, fold up their tents, pack their bags, and to follow that pillar wherever it went. At times it brought them to an oasis where there was an abundance of water and shade for them. At other times it led them into a barren wilderness where there were no pathways, no roads leading through there, no water, nothing to eat. There were times where God led them in long marches through the heat of the day and then perhaps also through the night with this pillar of fire going before them, continuing to march through the night. It was their infallible guide as they made their way through the wilderness. Their infallible guide bringing them out of Egypt and leading them to the goal of the heavenly, of the promised land. It was that pillar that led them into the wilderness. And through the wilderness, God could have, by that pillar, brought them from Egypt the shorter, quicker, easier way right up into the land of Canaan. By this pillar, God leads them down in the opposite direction. He brings them down into the wilderness, and it continues to lead and guide them for 40 years. The barren wilderness. The way that God led His people was not what to the people of Israel seemed like the right way or the easy way. The way that God led them was the difficult way, the long way. But the perfect way, though the long and difficult way, the right and perfect way, God was leading them. Because through that leading, God was sanctifying them. He was preparing them for the promised land. They weren't ready yet for that promised land. They needed to be trained and prepared by God through the wilderness so that they were finally ready to take the promised land. God was revealing to them their natures, revealing their natures as stubborn and rebellious and disobedient. God was showing to them their own weakness, how that in their own strength they could never make it through the wilderness, they never take the promised land. God was training them so that they knew their complete dependence upon God and that their coming into the promised land was a miracle of grace. That leading of the people demanded that they trust in God. And we read again and again that they don't. And to a certain degree, we can understand that. We can understand the man in Israel grumbling and complaining. Why is the pillar leading us in this direction? Why not in that direction? Why are we marching now? We just rested. We just set up our tents. We're in a comfortable place. We're in an oasis. There's water. There's shade. Let's stay here for a while. Why are we marching already? You can understand. Mother in Israel saying as she's marching, why are we going so long and marching? Doesn't God know that aged parents are in the group, that they're not able to continue on in this difficult way? Why are we packing up our tents in the middle of the night? Why is the pillar of fire moving at night? Doesn't God know the children just fell asleep in the tent? Now wake them up and now get them marching in the middle of the night? This doesn't seem right. This is the wrong way. What's God doing? Why leading this way? God never explained the reason to the people. God never explained every twist and every turn of their path, why they stayed this amount of time here and why they were quickly moving from there. The pillar moved, and God's commandment was follow. Trust. With a childlike faith and trust. A childlike faith and trust that maybe doesn't understand and doesn't know all of the reasons. Trust and obey and follow the leading of God through that pillar. You can begin to see, I think, the application of that to us in our earthly pilgrimage. The purpose of this pillar is to teach us about presence of God with us, to teach us also about the leading of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ leads and guides us by His providence. Eternally, God has determined what is His will for us. What's His will for the church? What is His will for each one of us individually, including all of the circumstances of our lives down to the tiniest of details. Everything eternally, sovereignly determined by God. Now by His providence, He executes that decree and plan. He powerfully carries out His eternal counsel, leading and guiding us as a church, as individuals, in the way that He's determined for us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ leads and guides us by His Word and by His Spirit. The Word of Jesus Christ is a light unto our feet and upon our pathway. It shines upon the path that God has called us to walk in obedience to Him. By His Holy Spirit, Christ works within us so that that Word is applied to us and that Word is our guide. And by the grace of God, we walk in that way in which Christ is leading us. We have an infallible guide in our earthly pilgrimage. Our Lord and Savior, who's suffered and died to draw us out of the bondage of Egypt, who set before our eyes the hope of the land flowing with milk and honey. The one who now, every step of the way, is leading and guiding us to that goal. Perfectly, according to the right and good and perfect way, leading us to glory. But what lies between Egypt and the Promised Land is the wilderness. It's God's will that we walk through the wilderness. There are joys. There are times when it's as if God brings us to an oasis in the desert. A time of rest, a time of shade, a time of refreshment. But often that way is the hard, difficult, painful way of a waste, howling wilderness. The way that God leads us is a way that includes physical struggles. Struggles as our bodies break down. Different parts of our body and functions of our body begin to fail. Infirmities of old age, sickness, chronic disease, permanent handicap and disability. The way that God may lead is through relational struggles. Child of God who desires to be married and yet is single. Child of God who is married but experiences trouble in marriage. Trouble with children, wayward, rebellious children, for example. Child of God who desires children and yet struggles with the burden of barrenness and infertility. Struggles in other relationships with family or with friends. The way that God leads is for some the way of financial struggle. Loss of a job or the failure of a business or the cutting of one's wages. Some unexpected major repairs to the home that lead us scrambling to try and make ends meet to provide for the needs of our homes and family. The way that God leads may be deep, intense, emotional, mental, spiritual struggles. Child of God is burdened and anxious and cast down. Child of God who's discouraged and disappointed with the way in which God is leading. The way that God leads is often a difficult way. It's a way that often appears to be in the middle of the night, in the darkness. But it's the good way, the perfect way, the right way.
This is the way that God has determined to bring us to glory. And there's no other way. If there was some other way, some better way, that's the way that God would lead us in Jesus Christ. But He leads us on this way in these specific circumstances because in His infinite wisdom, He knows this is the right way, the perfect way, the way that will lead to the promised land. We need the wilderness. The wilderness reveals our stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, sinful natures. The wilderness reveals the foolishness of dependence on self. The wilderness reveals we're wholly dependent upon God and our salvation now, and our salvation everlastingly is entirely a miracle of God's grace. Learn those lessons in the wilderness. God's leading Jesus Christ through those hard, painful circumstances of life, and that demands of us the calling to trust, to follow. Like Israel, we can question the way of God. God, why this way? Why not this way? Why this way? God, why now? Why this long? God, this doesn't seem right. Something seems wrong. This seems like the wrong way. It's the long way. It's the difficult way. And what we want is the quick way, the easy way. We want to avoid all the hardships and all of the struggles that may come. God, take me the easy way to glory. And when we're not taken in that way, we wonder, we question. God, why? God, what's your purpose? God, this doesn't seem right. But that is the right way. Even though God may never reveal to us this life what are the purposes. God may never explain to us in this life why He led in this direction and not in that direction. Why we had to travel in this hard way through the wilderness so that we would be prepared for glory. God's way to change the figure is in the sea. Psalm 77, verse 19, Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. God's thoughts and God's ways are infinitely higher than our thoughts and ways. We don't understand. But we are called to trust. We are called with a childlike faith to follow where our Savior is leading us. To put one step in front of the other step on our earthly pilgrimage day after day, following the leading and the guiding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our calling is to trust and to obey. We do that in confidence. We do that in confidence in the presence of Christ with us. We do that in confidence knowing His perfect leading and guiding of us. We do that in confidence knowing His protection and His preservation of us. And that's the third and final main purpose of this pillar of cloud and fire. It assured them of God's presence. It piloted, it led them and guided them through the wilderness, and it protected and preserved them. A couple of passages of God's Word that teach that. Numbers 10, verse 34 says, And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. 1 Corinthians 10 says the same thing. The people were under the cloud. And then Psalm 105, verse 39. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. What those passages indicate is that this cloud had the purpose of covering and protecting God's people. It protected them against their enemies. We read about that in Exodus chapter 14 as the Egyptians are breathing down their neck. God brings that pillar around behind them as a wall of separation to defend His people. God troubled the enemies of His people out of that cloud. Preserved them in that way. And that pillar served as a kind of canopy or a covering over God's people as well. As they're marching through the heat of the wilderness without any protection, that pillar that went before them would stretch out also over top of them to create a covering so that they continued in the protecting shade of Almighty God, protecting them from heat stroke in the barrenness of the wilderness. Pillar served to protect and to preserve. So also, our Lord Jesus Christ, do we have protection? So also does our Lord Jesus Christ, is our pillar, preserve us in our pilgrimage. A couple of passages from the Psalms that speak beautifully of the protecting shade Almighty God, Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Psalm 121, verses 5 and 6, The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Our Lord Jesus Christ protects us. He defends and preserves us from our spiritual enemies so that we're not overwhelmed and destroyed by them. And He preserves us from ruin and destruction, the wasting heat of the wilderness. We have shade under the everlasting arms of our Almighty God. And that's the only explanation for how we will come to the Promised Land. Without the protection and preservation of our pillar, the Lord Jesus Christ, will perish in this wilderness. It's impossible for us to continue on, to take step after step following where He leads us. We'll waste away. Dried, parched bones in the wilderness and never come to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. Our confidence and our assurance is in Christ alone. It's in Jesus Christ that we're confident He'll lead us all the way to glory. He'll protect us. He'll preserve us without fail. And He'll lead us to the other side. Lead us to glory to be with Him. Beloved, as you go forward in this week, throughout the rest of your pilgrimage, however long that may be, go forward in confidence. Go forward in the confidence of belonging to Jesus Christ. Go forward trusting in Him. Trust that He's with you. Trust that He's guiding you in the right and perfect way. Trust in everlasting arms of our Almighty God. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, thankful for what Thou dost give to us in Christ. We have infinite amount of blessing. We have salvation. We have deliverance from bondage and sin. We have the hope of glory, perfection with Thee. We have the confidence of Thy faithfulness and Thy preserving grace to us in Christ. And so then, Father, strengthen, preserve us, give us the grace to go forward in this coming week with all of the labors Thou dost give us and all the troubles and the sorrows Thou dost send into our lives. Go forward in confidence of Thy perfect love and Thy unfailing care for us. Father, forgive the weakness of our faith. Forgive us of our lack of trust and dependence upon Thee. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt help our unbelief. Strengthen our faith by Thy Word and by Thy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen.